I'm Liz Alpert, and I'm running for Sarasota City Commission in District 2.
What has your experience been in Sarasota thus far? When did you come here, and what have you been doing in Sarasota since that time?
Well, I originally moved to Sarasota in 1974, so I have been here a long time. I came here from Illinois, and I am thankful every day that I got to live here for the past 41 years in August. And I've lived sort of around the entire area. I lived here for 5 years, then went to St. Pete for 5 years, and then Tampa for 17, and then I've been back in Sarasota since 2002. And since I've been back, I started law school here in 2003. I was 54 years old when I started law school, and I also immediately started looking for service on city boards. I got on the Human Relations Board, which was just forming as a result of the anti-discrimination ordinance that had just been passed in the city. So I felt very fortunate to get on that board because, you know, equality and anti-discrimination is very important to me, and I thought it was a really good place for me to serve. I served a little over 2 terms on that board, and when I finished with that, I applied for and got appointed to the General Personnel Civil Service Board for the city, and there I'm currently serving. Prior to that, in Tampa, I served on the city's Architectural Review Commission, and I served 2 terms there. That commission dealt with the historic districts in Tampa. So we were charged with making sure that any changes to houses or structures in the historic district met the historic guidelines so that the district itself wouldn't lose its historic status. So during that period of time, I developed a very strong passion for historic preservation and for smart growth principles. I went to a lot of conventions and seminars that emphasized both of these things and got very, very interested in making sure that when growth happens, it's done responsibly and done the right way, so that we keep our quality of life and don't lose all of the things that people come here for.
What had originally brought you to want to sit on the 2 boards in Sarasota?
I just have always been interested in getting involved in my community, and it's just what I do. I also served on my condominiums board here in Sarasota and in Tampa. And during the time I was on the condominium board here in Sarasota, we managed to get a renovation done to the first floor of our condominium, the entire first floor. Nothing had been done to it in 40 years, and people at the condominium had been trying to get something done for many years, and nothing ever happened. And so it took us 2 votes and a lot of contentious meetings to get that passed. It was quite controversial, but we managed to get through it. And during my presidency, we passed it, and I feel very good about that. And we've got a beautiful lobby now.
Were those positions that were like volunteer? Was that your main like livelihood during that time?
It was all volunteer. Okay. It's all volunteer positions. No, during the time that I've been here, as I said, I started law school in 2003. And I didn't graduate until 2005, passed the bar and got admitted to the Florida bar in September of 2006, and I've been practicing law ever since.
So in your law practice, what kinds of cases do you tend to take on?
I do family law, which means mostly divorce and all divorce-related aspects. So I feel like that's a really good background to have to serve on something like the city commission, where you constantly have parties with conflicting ideas of what the outcome could be, and there's a lot of emotion involved. I deal with that every day, and I work really hard to find a solution to the conflict that protects my client, and most of my cases settle. So I feel very good about that. Now, I am willing to certainly fight for my client and go to court if we have to, if there isn't a way to resolve the issue, but I also feel it's really, really important to, you know, for everybody to try to find a solution. And I think I can apply those skills to the decisions that have to be made at City Commission.
That must have been wild to make such a late career change. I can only imagine going back to school for a whole another chunk of years instead of starting fresh.
Yeah, I started my law career at age 57. So I tell people I'm kind of living my life backwards. So I'm starting my career at when people are starting to think about retiring. And I had 23 years where I was sort of a stay-at-home mom, but very busy volunteering and doing other things.
What prompted you to seek out a career in law at that time?
It was something I had always wanted to do. But when I graduated from high school, I was the oldest of eight children. My dad was a long-distance truck driver, so there was no money for me to go to college. So what I did was I went to work, and I started taking classes whenever I could at every opportunity. So from my first class that I ever took, until I was able to graduate, it took me 17 years to get my undergraduate degree. But I was very proud of that, that I never gave up, I persevered, and I managed to accomplish that. The second goal was to be able to go to law school. And again, it took some time before I had the opportunity to do it, but when I got the opportunity at age 54, I took it. I knew that I was going to be 57 by the time I was able to start practicing law, but my theory was I was going to be 57 either with my law degree or without it. So that's another reason, another thing about me that I think would be useful on City Commission is just the ability to persevere despite obstacles, despite setbacks. You keep going and you keep working towards that goal.
Yeah, on that note, what else do you think you could sort of bring to City Commission that separates you from those who are already on it and those who are running for the positions open?
Well, I believe my background in historic preservation and in learning about responsible growth, I think, adds to my qualifications for City Commission. My experience as a family law lawyer, as I explained earlier, about being able to resolve conflicts and find solutions. My experience just being able to... All right, so I talked about that background. My experience serving as a leader, not only on my condominium boards, but on the boards that I've served on. The only one that so far I have not been chairman of is the one I'm currently on, but that doesn't mean at some point I won't be. So I've always taken leadership roles no matter what I've done.
What kinds of things you find especially important for Sarasota, and in what capacity do you want to bring those topics into the City Commission?
What prompted me to run was a presentation at the Van Wezel regarding the Bayfront 2020 project. And I saw the possibilities of 42 acres, city-owned acres, that are like a blank slate almost, of something fabulous that can be done there. And I realized that the City Commission was going to be making the decisions regarding what happens there. So that's what prompted me to run. And certainly I want to make sure that we get a really good project and that whatever we get is open and accessible to everyone in our community. I also thought that I'd like to see the redevelopment of the North Trail, and I think the Bayfront 2020 project will help create some synergy to make that happen. I live near downtown, and it's important to me to see that the downtown becomes a shopping and entertainment destination. So those were the three things that I wanted to work on as a city commissioner. But also, as I've been campaigning and talking to the voters in the district, what I have found is that there are two things that are important to them. The homeless comes up with almost everyone. Everyone feels like we need to find some resolution or solution to the homeless issue. And then secondly is traffic and responsible growth. So I'll also be focusing my attention on those things as well.
Yeah, returning to like the three things that you highlighted, you were talking about like making planning for the Bayfront or mm-hmm. making the final product of the Bayfront mm-hmm. like open and accessible for everyone.
Right.
Can you talk a little bit more about that? How do you mean?
Well, I think there has to be open and accessible park for all of the residents. Not the entire property, obviously. I think we have to have some other things there. But minimally, we have to make sure that there's a park for everybody to go and enjoy and have access to the water.
As it stands, does that involve, like, basically the land where, like, the marina is and all of that area?
It involves, yes, it involves the land where the boat ramp is, where people put in their boats, and I think mm-hmm. we need to make sure that we preserve that there. Mm-hmm. There are some historic structures mm-hmm. on the site, the Municipal Auditorium, the Sarasota mm-hmm. Garden Club. Mm-hmm. There are the lawn bowlers who have had a site there for years. So when planning all of this, we have to take all of those things into consideration.
So does Bayfront 2020 like envision, how does it primarily envision that space to be used in the future?
There hasn't been a plan yet put forth by Bayfront 2020. Mm-hmm. All they have talked about are some guiding principles so that when the plan is made, they want the plan to fit within those guiding principles of how it should be developed. There are six of them. I believe they've been a little bit revised from when I put them down here, or they're calling them really aspirations. There's an aspiration that whatever gets built there becomes iconic and a public destination. Mm-hmm. We want to preserve the cultural heritage, the Bayfront's natural assets. The fourth one was activation, which talks about outdoor cultural programming and events to bring people there. Mm-hmm. Connectivity, so we want the Bayfront to be connected to the other areas of the city. Sustainability, so we have to mm-hmm. view the project and make sure that it's ecologically, economically, and financially sustainable.
So your primary concern is you want to make sure that the Bayfront 2020 plan is going to be cognizant of like the historical sites?
Yeah, partially that, and make sure that we have things there that actually I think the guiding principles that they have are good ones, and that's what we want to ensure happens at that site.
Yeah, and then as far as redeveloping the North Trail, how do you envision the best way to go about doing that?
I think it would be similar to what's going on with the Bayfront 2020, is you start meeting with the stakeholders, the people who have an interest in the redevelopment, such as the business owners along the North Trail, the residents along the North Trail, and work with them to find solutions for the outcomes they would like to see. You know, I don't think it should be my ideas. I think we should incorporate what the people who, you know, it matters the most to would like. And you've got, also got the educational institutions along the North Trail as well that, you know, have an interest in what goes on. So I think it's doable. And as I said, I think the development of the Bayfront Cultural District will help spur that as well.
And do you currently think that there's any reason sort of to like try to reorganize the city commission in some way that invites people, like greater participation of like Sarasota citizens? Do you think it's important to like especially focus to try to make that a more inclusive space for people to share their concerns and stuff like that?
Not sure what you mean. The city commission meetings make it more inclusive for people to be able to share their ideas?
Or do you have any thoughts about what you plan to do to like invite like citizens into that space or into the decision-making process of the city commission in a bigger way?
I mean, I certainly am going to be open and accessible to all the residents and certainly encourage anyone who wants to come and speak before the commission to do that. And I'm all for listening to my constituents. Yeah. I also tell people, as a family law attorney, I have to listen to my clients about what's important to them. They've got the facts, they've got the information that I don't have, and they know the outcomes they want. So I don't know all of those things unless they tell me. I can't possibly know. So the people who have issues that are important to them, they're the ones that can educate me as to what needs to happen. And then based on the facts and information, I'll make the best decision possible. We have gone door to door to talk to the voters. Mm-hmm. And what we leave at the door, if they aren't there, is, or even if they are there, has been a palm card brochure, what have you, that has a tear-off postcard at the bottom for that resident to send back to us and tell us what their concerns are with the city. And we have gotten an amazing response to that. So that has helped me determine what's important to the residents. And I think something even like that, similar, that we just invite people to just let us know, you know, what do you think? What do you think you want to see happen in the city?